Let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Thank you, brother. What do we learn in times of crisis? That's what the Lord has for us tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5, I want to draw our attention to verse number 5. The Word of God says this, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." How do you do that? Well, it goes on to say, and it expands upon the colon at the end of the word time, "casting all your care upon him." Well, why should we do that? He careth for you. Hey, listen, little ones, look here. God cares for you. That word cast, little Dakota, means like when you get mad and you chuck your toys, okay? I've seen it a time or two. I've done it a time or two. It means to throw it up to God. Put it all on him. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Why would it put that word in there? Oh, because the devil tells us that it's only us that are going through it. That's not true. What does that mean? Can I just translate that for us? We're not alone. What's going on in our lives is not unique to us. Others are experiencing it too. He goes on to say in verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal life by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I came across this quote this week, and it's helped me, as you can imagine, just trying to help many people. And the quote is this: "Losing your head in a crisis is a good way to become the crisis." Okay? And that's true. But when you go through waters that you've never gone through, it makes it tough, no doubt. But we are so blessed to be going through this. We really are. Because we have the opportunity to follow the Lord and to trust him in it and through it and to come out of it together with the Lord. It is said that test pilots have a litmus test for evaluating problems. When something goes wrong, they ask, "Is this thing still flying?" And if the answer is yes, then there's no immediate danger. Then there's not a reason to overreact. When Apollo 12 took off, the spacecraft was hit by lightning. The entire console began to glow with orange and red trouble lights. There was a temptation to do something, but the pilots asked themselves, "Is this thing still flying in the right direction?" And when the answer was yes, they headed for the moon. They let the lights glow as they addressed the individual problems and watched orange and red lights blink out one by one. It's something for us to think about in pressure-filled situations. Is our life still flying? And if the answer is yes, then we think first and then act. The fact of the matter is we're fine. God's leading us. We're following him. Uncharted water, for sure. Difficult times, no doubt. But we're still flying, so it's not time to hit the panic button. We just follow the precautions, and that's what we're doing. In this epistle here that Peter writes to believers, he's speaking of persecution, and he's anticipating the persecution that's going to come in the final years of Nero's reign. And Nero was a diabolical madman. It was said in the kingdom that you're far better off being Nero's dog than Nero's son, because this guy was intensely insecure, and anybody that was a threat to him, he put to death. And so Peter wrote to believers here, and some would argue whether Babylon is Rome or what it is. It doesn't matter where it was. They were going through it, much like people are now. So the apostle encouraged people to look to the Lord, to submit to one another, to follow leadership, and to mature in seasons of suffering. And it gives us some thoughts on what we learn in times of crisis, and I just want to share them briefly. What do we learn? What do we learn from this? See, here's the thing for us, and I'm trying to fixate upon this. God doesn't want us just to survive this. Our God wants us to thrive in this. That's the truth. That's not propaganda, and that's not trying to puff you up with psychology. We are overcomers. This has already passed through the mind of our God. And we just find ourselves here in the will of God. Yes, this is the will of God. And we find ourselves here. And what we learn here is this. We learn the wisdom of the Almighty One in it all. It says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, he says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory." It is truly this God that extends his mercy and his favor. When we respond to this, we're guaranteed of an eternity with him in glory forever. And I'm grateful for that. So this God that leads in this, he says, because of Jesus Christ, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. What does that tell me? It tells me that our God, who is sovereign, has allowed things to come into the lives of these believers to establish, strengthen, and settle them. Folks, I'm watching as the pastor of this church hearing testimonies from people. They're saying, "Pastor, I would normally be a basket case, but I feel calm. I feel calm. I feel at peace. And it doesn't make sense." And I said, it doesn't have to make sense. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy the Lord and just enjoy who God is in all of this. As I consider the wisdom of our God, I think about how the Lord used Peter's failings to help him be empathetic towards others. Someone asked me one time, "How come you care for sinners so much?" Because I am one. You know how many times I've blown it in my Christian life? And I pastor people that blow it, and I said, "Oh, okay. Well, you're not mad at me? Mad at you? Do you know how much sin I've done in my life?" You know why we have a burden for lost sinners? Because we've been lost ourselves. And the Lord used Peter of all people and his failings. You picture Peter, this tough, ripped, brawny fisherman. "I got it covered, Lord. Why don't you lay down the nets?" "Well, I'll let down one." "Why don't you cast it on the other side? We've done this all night. You stick to the kingdom message. I'll stick to fishing, okay, God?" Like, wow. What a character. But here he's so broken. He's blown it so much. And he can look at a dysfunctional situation, he himself who was once dysfunctional, and say, "I know how God brought me through this," and the Lord can work in your circumstance, in your situation. And the Lord used the failings of the apostle to help him minister to others here. It's amazing how the Lord used persecution to produce spiritual maturity in the believers. He says, God's plan is to establish, strengthen, and settle you. The Lord's plan is not to allow this coronavirus to kill every Christian in the world. But folks, look at what's happening. There's no casinos and bars functioning. No sporting events. There's goodwill in the nation called Canada. People are concerned one for another. You get people who you'd never think of saying, "Hey, offer up prayers for people." Okay? That's a bad thing? That's a great thing for revival, as Brother Carl alluded to. How many times have you wept for this country, dear one? And really meant it. And really meant it. I remember praying with people. I'm not saying Trump is perfect. To be honest with you, sometimes he just needs to shut up. The preacher said it. It's the truth. Sometimes he can rephrase things a whole lot better. But I'll tell you what, when you consider what was there before and the attack on Christianity, you can say Merry Christmas in the United States nowadays. I remember begging God. I remember people begging God, "God, would you save America?" You say, "Why save America?" We wouldn't have Christianity without America, let's be honest. I'm not giving a pro-American message, but revival came up the east coast of Canada and spread across this nation.
Because of people who moved to a different land looking for freedom from religious persecution. Our God does these things, and God wants to work in us and produce maturity in us. And we see the wisdom in our God as he develops unity amongst believers. He mentions and refers to this in 1 Peter chapter 5. But I think about Peter and how the Lord had to teach him to think beyond himself. And who did he use? The Apostle John, the crybaby of the bunch. We find in Acts chapter 3 that they go up to prayer together. I pastor men in this church, okay? And masculine men, and that's a good thing, okay? And here's Peter, always concerned about John. His main concern, what's this guy going to do? Why is this guy leaning on your breast? Let me do something manly and chop a guy's ear off, okay? Even out the masculinity amongst the disciples. And God brought those two men together because the church needed it. The Lord does these things. That's what we learn from crisis. We also learn this. We learn about the importance of family. I'm talking about our natural family and our spiritual family. If you can't trust your family, who can you trust? I'm not sure if I've shared this story or not, but I heard the story of a comedian who was talking about his family. He says, I grew up and he says, my grandfather says, hey, you're wasting your time watching your money. If you don't watch your health, you're going to run out of your money. And your health is going to be mangled here. Watch your health. You won't enjoy your money. He says, one day when I was watching my health, someone stole my money. It was my grandfather. That's a dysfunctional family. I grew up kind of like that. Sometimes it's hard to trust family. But let me tell you something. My unsaved mom has always reached out to me in times of calamity. 911. Is it going to be okay, son? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. How do you know? I said, because I know my God. I know my God. Doesn't mean we're not going to go through difficult times, but we can trust the Lord. The importance of family. 1 Peter 5, verse 2, he references the flock. We may not always like each other, but we're all lumped together, aren't we? We're called the flock. You know, in times like this, we miss people that aren't here. Our concern is for them. How are they doing? In verse 3, he references God's heritage, no doubt referencing the body of believers that is the Lord's property. We belong to the Lord. Individually, we are his, and collectively, we are special to the Lord. God's had a plan for this city long before you or I were even here. And we're enjoying those things now. In verse 5, he refers to the younger and the elder. What do we learn? We learn in times like this to love one another, to recognize one another, to take care of one another, and be mindful of one another. What do we learn in times of crisis? Number 3, we learn about the reality of the Lord's abiding peace. We're all unified on one thing, God's glory. God's glory. The church, we've been praying for unity. Oh, we're unified now. If you're not unified, what's it going to take? Part 2 of the coronavirus? I'm like, no, God, no problem, Lord. We're going to look to you. You're in charge. John 14, verse 27, the Lord said to his disciples, after meeting with them and discussing many precious truths in John chapter 13 and John 14, he tells them that he's leaving. They're just destroyed by this, heartbroken by this bad news. It seems like the end of the world for them. He's leaving them. How are they going to cope and function? He tells them in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Is God a liar? I'm going to submit unto you that this is the preserved word of God. And this message is true right now. It's true for us. God has given us his peace. And that's the absolute truth. Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, be careful for nothing. That means don't be full of concern. Careful, you're full of everything. Anxiety, fear. Be careful for nothing. Well, what do I do instead of that? Replace it with this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When we're careful, it feels like someone is just stepping on our chest and we can't even breathe. He said, instead of being careful, be prayerful.
That's the replacement of it. And I'm going to be real with you. It's hard to do that sometimes. It hit me like a ton of bricks the other night, and the family experienced a very real moment. Dad had to release the valve. Preachers, hey, I got a preacher. Wants me to go to a meeting, and he tells me, basically, you're a chicken if you don't come. And I said, that guy's a fool. I said, don't listen to him. That's foolish thinking. I said, a real man of God would be concerned for your health and your well-being, not his own stinking meeting. That's wicked. I said, don't follow that. You follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's liberty in the Lord. That's what there is. People, I'm losing my house. What do I do? Trust God. Trust God. Pastor, scared to church. What should I do? You follow the Lord. I'm not going to force anybody to do what I believe God wants me to do. Follow the Lord. Be careful for nothing. In everything, give thanks. Let your requests be made known unto God. What happens when I do that? And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It'll guard our mindset. It keeps us from spiraling into places where we don't need to go mentally. I'm going to say it. It's not time to be fearful and wobbly and insecure. It's a time to be confident in our God. This city needs it. And you have it whether you realize it or not. That's the truth. We've got it because we know who God is. And God can do anything. And this is where real Christianity emerges. I'm not just talking about coming to church. I'm talking about wherever you go. You just, man, you look so peaceful. I am peaceful. Why? I can't explain it. I just know that God gave it to me. And I'm thankful for it. That's how we respond to it. We prayed. We prayed for your baby girl. She'll always be your baby girl. And I know God heard. So whatever God does is his answer. I believe that. Otherwise, why are we praying for, right? Pray for your girl. Precious man. I want her to run again. I want her to cause trouble in church again. I'd even put up with that, wouldn't you? I just want her here, don't you? Maybe not. Okay. Her concerns, I want to hear Molly sing again. Precious. Precious. What a testimony for her when she gives her testimony, and she will. God opened the door, and God brought me to the States in the midst of the coronavirus. Always has to be dramatic for Nicole, eh? Like, seriously, crazy town. Can't just fly normally. It was the coronavirus. I could just see her 15 years from now. I'm like, shut up already. We heard the story a million times. You know, write a book. Go visit Oprah. Maybe not. Okay. All right. Some people do. Okay. We learn in crisis. We're almost done. We learn about the foolishness of holding personal grudges. Church, I've let some go. You know, I get mad, eh? I care for sheep. I do. Mad, I do. That's my Achilles heel. You care too much. And it's probably not going to change. And at times helping people over the years in marriage counseling, sometimes I've loved that marriage enough more than both people. But boy, we tried, Lord. We tried. And I care for sheep. This matter of renewal is important to me. We've got young people that we don't want to lose. So we have to preach it right and live it right. We do. It's important. Ward said this, a life lived without forgiveness is a prison. I've experienced it. So it's not time for pettiness. It's time when we look at life and we look at what's going on. It's hard to hate people when there's a global pandemic going on. I don't even want my worst enemy to get this coronavirus to you. He's softening. I mean, if you haven't seen that... Elders were not feeding the flock. Why do you think that is? They probably didn't feel appreciated. Elders were overlording. Preachers do that when they're insecure.
If there wasn't power given, there wouldn't be the temptation to lord it over people. This position wields tremendous power, but oh, not for man, for God's sake, for God's glory, for influencing people. There was disunity amongst young and old. We need wisdom and we need energy, and the perfect balance is always blessed in the church. We need those things. And what was going on, verses 7 to 9 tells us that the devil was winning against the saints. Now I want to just break this here a little bit and we'll be done. What an insult to the Lord that that dirty dog would win in our life. The only power that he has is given to him by the Almighty. He's powerless. He has to present that plan before God, which God has already seen. He's not even smart enough to recognize that. And we get to tell the truth in comparison to our Lord. Here's my plans. What do you think? No. What about this revised plan? Okay. Think about it. And what does he try to do? He tries to get things focused in. I'm young and you're old, therefore I'm better. What foolish stuff he does. I'm old and you're young. I'm smarter. What in the... And the devil wins at that stuff. The devil wins at that stuff. Young people, thank God for the wisdom of old people. Old people, thank God for the zeal of young people. And let's work with it together. And preachers, I wish every preacher in this land wouldn't worry about his money and his trips and how he's going. My concern is that every family can eat some food, and I'm being honest with you. That's my burden. How's Debbie doing? Gotta try to get and see her somehow. Bring some food. Those are the pressing concerns that we have, not the petty things. And lastly, the glory of God is all that matters. He says in verse 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We exist for his pleasure. We exalt him when we fulfill his purpose. Crises are designed for believers to display their confidence in God to an unconfident world with gods who do not answer. Our God always answers, and we know it. I read about this study about satisfaction in people's lives, and I found it interesting. The study said this: the secret may lie in a person's ability to handle life's blows without blame or bitterness. These are the conclusions of the study of 173 men who were followed after they graduated from Harvard University. The study reported in the American Journal of Psychiatry noted that one potent predictor of well-being was the ability to handle emotional crisis maturely. Listen. Our God is real. Our God is powerful. And if you know God, you can have confidence. And that makes the difference. That helps us to stay emotionally stable, to be doctrinally sound. My doctrine's not changing in the midst of what's going on because our doctrine's from the Word of God. We don't change our doctrine just because of the calamity that's going on. No, our God is eternal. Our God is trustworthy. This book is solid. Our faith rests in it. It's built upon it. And our God lives, is well, and is praying for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to handle this crisis by looking to you.